You're listening to the Sports Source Podcast.
It's great to have you with us for the divisional playoff.
Quick episodes with analysts and athletes discussing all things sports.
How could you leave Toronto, Kawhi?
Just have some fun out here. You know, enjoy the journey of all this. We're trying to get 16 wins and going after a gold trophy.
Now here's your host, Alan.
Hey there, and welcome to Sports Shorts Podcast. I'm your host, Alan, and I'm here today with somebody who's coming back on the show. Apparently, I was entertaining enough to get somebody to come back, and I'm proud of myself for that. It's Vince from Two Tone Nation Podcast. What's up, Vince?
Hey, Alan, how you doing? Thanks again for having me back. Wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Thanks for coming back. I didn't think I was famous enough to have this kind of role, but, you know, just I'm feeling good about myself now. We're going to do the same thing we did a couple weeks ago, just looking back at Sunday's games, at Thursday's games, at Monday's games, and trying to pick out three things that we took away from last week that have to do with the NFL and where we see things going. So I'll let you start. What's one thing you looked at last week and you can take away?
One thing I'm going to look at last week, and it's also part in play of how the other three teams played, but the Chicago Bears are the worst team in the NFC North. I don't know if that's really saying much right now, given just how well Green Bay is obviously playing, how well Minnesota's really been playing, and how just, let's just say, balanced and consistent even the Lions are. The Bears, for as great and special of a defense as they have, they're being undone by an absolutely terrible quarterback and an egomaniac at a head coach between Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy. I'm from Chicago originally, have a lot of ties to the Bears through family and friends. That's a team right now that I wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. Trubisky cannot make, you know, a throw to save his life. Nagy is such a head case, such an arrogant guy. Both those guys together is just a recipe for disaster for that team.
Yeah, what blows my mind is last year, I believe the Bears won the NFC North, and you're talking about a quarterback that was traded up to get in front of Deshaun Watson, in front of Patrick Mahomes, and you're looking at Mitchell Trubisky. Arguably, he's without a doubt in my mind the worst quarterback in the division, and that's the worst team in the division. You heard me say it a while ago, Minnesota is the team to mess with in the NFC North. I don't know if that's still true. But one of the games I'm looking at from last week is that Green Bay-Kansas City game, and I'm taking two things away from it. A, the Packers are for real. When they started off this season, I was thinking, hey, I still have the Vikings winning the North. And don't get me wrong, Minnesota still can. But Green Bay looks good. Aaron Rodgers is finally on a roll. He's finally matching. He threw for over 300 yards. He looks comfortable in that offense. The offense looks good around him. The running game is going well. But the biggest thing I'm taking away from that game probably is Kansas City is a complete team. They are without their leader, without their starting quarterback, without the star of the NFL, Mr. Patrick Mahomes. And they still looked pretty good. They still played the first place Green Bay Packers within 7 points. I believe that Kansas City, once Patrick Mahomes comes back, is a serious, serious contender for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think both those teams are teams that are going to be playing deep into the winter. Green Bay, I think Matt LaFleur has done a really nice job. I can't lie. He was a bit frustrating as an offensive coordinator for Tennessee last season. But what LaFleur has really done, I think he's, and I think this is what any head coach should do. You got to give a lot of flexibility to Aaron Rodgers. You can't put him in a box, which I think McCarthy might have tried to do a little bit too much in the end of his tenure in Green Bay. When you let Rodgers just go play football, you know, it doesn't really matter who his receivers are. I know Devontae Adams has been banged up. He elevates the level of play of the guys around him. Their defense is playing a lot better. They got a lot of young talent on that side of the ball. I love Jaire Alexander. Mike Pettine's doing a good job there, moving on from Don Capers as the defensive coordinator. Green Bay's definitely a team that no one's going to want to face down the stretch. I think they're going to continue rolling. And I think the Chiefs, I mean, the AFC is not as deep right now as the NFC is. But once Mahomes gets back, that's another team. They've struggled to really stay healthy top to bottom throughout the year. Sammy Watkins has been banged up. Their defense does need to improve. But you know, no team is going to want to get in a shootout with the Chiefs once Mahomes is back to full strength.
Yeah, and the weapons the Chiefs have are absolutely ridiculous. I love the Mecole Hardman pickup out of Georgia in the draft. Kansas City's loaded. Once they get the quarterback back, I think they're going to kind of roll through the AFC until they meet probably what's looking like New England as the top team in the AFC. What's the second game that you were looking at this weekend that you really took something away from?
I think it's safe to say, and maybe I was late to the party, forgive me, but these, you win this many games in a row this deep in season, you're for real. The 49ers are built for the long run. So much depth on the defensive line. DeForest Buckner, Nick Bosa, just playing out of their minds. That defense is top notch. Kyle Shanahan is a guy that I've always kind of been up and down on as an offensive mind, probably to a fault. But Shanahan is absolutely putting on a masterclass performance in play design for their run game. All they're really needing Jimmy G to do is do his best at protecting the ball. Those guys are moving the chains. Carolina is a good football team. They're a balanced football team. They're a well-coached football team. And the Niners just beat the absolute life out of them. So to see San Francisco just jump out of that type of lead that they did, I think they were up three scores, I think, as you approached halftime. And then it just didn't even let Carolina sniff themselves back into the game. The Niners are a freaking special team right now. And props to Kyle Shanahan for the job he's doing. And really also props to John Lynch for the job he's done in building that team. That they trust the hot term is, you know, trust the process. That's a group that indeed trusted the process. As the Jim Harbaugh era kind of came to a close a few years ago, and there was a changing of the guard with Lynch taking over as the GM and Shanahan brought in as head coach.
Yeah, and what's crazy is something came along my feed today that 7 years ago, I was at a Monday Night Football game where the 49ers were playing the Cardinals. It was in the middle of those Harbaugh years where the 49ers were unstoppable, physically dominant. The defensive line was ridiculous. And they absolutely smokehoused the Cardinals. I saw the same thing yesterday when I was watching them play Carolina. Two days ago when they were playing Carolina, they were unstoppable up front on defense. And when you start up front, when you have that defensive line, that's really where it all begins. And tell me that younger Bosa brother is not defensive rookie of the year right now, because what he is doing in San Francisco is ridiculous. Put him right next to Buckner. Put him with that defense, and then let Kyle Shanahan run that offense through Jimmy G. It's been very impressive to watch what's going on in San Francisco.
Absolutely, and I think there's a testament to be said about what it means to run the ball effectively and consistently. It just, I would even say more than a vaunted passing attack. It just sucks the life out of a defense more when you can just have these long, brutal, grinded out drives predicated on the run game and keeping the other offense off the field. They're winning the mental game too.
Yeah, and you throw in a tight end like Greg Kittle and what his production has been over the past year and a half, and San Francisco is built. And nothing but props, like you said, to John Lynch for what he's done out there in San Francisco. Great job. I'm going to go my second game. I'm going to look at the Seattle Seahawks, you know, a division rival of the San Francisco 49ers. And really, when I was looking at the NFC West at the beginning of the year, I was thinking Seattle was the second best team in the league or in the division, and they are, but they are quite a ways behind the first place team, which nobody really had San Francisco, I'm guessing, as the best team in that division. Seattle is showing massive chinks in the armor. They won this week, only beat the god-awful Atlanta Falcons by one score. And then last week they got taken to the woodshed by the Ravens, and Seattle is showing their chinks on defense. They only give up 20 to Atlanta, but they gave up over 450 passing yards to Matt Schaub, Matt Ryan's backup. Julio Jones went off for 150. I mean, obviously he's one of the best receivers in the league, but Seattle is showing their problems on defense. Russell Wilson is being asked to do too much, in my opinion. And I think that's been basically said of him his entire career in Seattle. I'm not seeing Seattle being able to stay as dominant or as ridiculously good as they have been. Atlanta showed that there's a way to beat Seattle, and it's through their defense. Yeah, it was a bend, don't break for Seattle, but they bent more than I've ever seen a team that didn't break.
Yeah, I think Seattle's going to have a hard time keeping up. The Rams are playing better, so it's assuming that the Niners can stay the course and you know really take the division. You're going to have two teams slugging out for wild card spot. I like what you said. Obviously, Russell Wilson's probably been having to do more than ever asked for before, and he's always been asked to do a lot. He's really always been asked to carry that team, especially when the run game hasn't been a much of a factor. Chris Carson does give you some pretty good play week in, week out, but it's not the attack that it was with Marshawn Lynch leading the helm a few years ago. Defense, they've really had trouble reassembling that group once kind of the old guard transitioned out with the Legion of Boom guys and some members of their front seven. Thing about Seattle though is they're a super well coached team. They're going to be tough to play in the colder weather. We'll see. But I agree with you that they're definitely showing some chinks in the armor. But if I had to pick a team to fix it out of that division between Seattle and the Rams, I would pick Seattle.
I like it. I mean, it's crazy. Who would have thought, you know, 2-3 months ago that we would be talking about the Rams possibly missing the playoffs? But the way the 49ers have looked and really made believers out of us, especially this last week, and the way Seattle looked at the beginning of the year, and they're still winning. You know, they won this week with how poorly they played on defense. You're right. The Rams might actually miss the playoffs, which is crazy to think. What was the third game? Give me this last game that really you took something out of from week 8.
Yeah, and I think it's really been the case since he's taken over. Outside of obviously the Bill Belichicks of the world, Frank Reich is one of the best coaches in the NFL. He's done an absolutely special job with Indianapolis. It was a close win against Denver at home, but I think this is the NFL, right? Any game is going to be a tough game regardless of who you're playing. Denver does have a very tough defense, a good secondary, and Jacoby Brissett has done a phenomenal job stepping in last minute in the starter role for Andrew Luck, obviously. But what's more telling than anything is that Reich was able to get this team ready as his quarterback retired with just a couple weeks to go before week one. That team is so damn disciplined. They're so prepared week in, week out. Reich is a great offensive mind. Probably, you know, we talk about that Eagles team that won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, the Doug Peterson, John DeFilippo, and Frank Reich trio that was there. You know, Reich is just as good of an offensive mind as Doug Peterson, if not better. Who knows how much Reich really had to do with building that, because what you're seeing with what he's doing here in Indianapolis is just really freaking, it's just great. This is a team that is not, they're doing a much better job. Chris Ballard's doing a good job as their GM, taking over for the crap that his name escapes me, Ryan P. something, their previous GM, had totally left that team in shambles. Ballard's rebuilt them from the inside out. That O-line is absolutely tough. Brissett's doing a great job. Being able to just win a real messy slugfest game against Denver speaks volumes about the job that Reich is doing with them.
Yeah, and who would another one of those? Who would have guessed we'd be sitting here week 8, week 9, talking about the Indianapolis O-line being almost a team strength, which through and Andrew Luck's entire career, maybe one of the reasons he retired so early, is they were seen as a giant fault. They were seen as a weakness. They were seen as that weak link in Indianapolis, and he was getting beat up. Another crazy thing, and I saw a picture the other day that made me think of this, is, you know, 3 years ago, you look at the New England quarterback room, and you're looking at Tom Brady in first place in his division. and undefeated. Jimmy Garoppolo in first place in his division and undefeated. And then you look over at Jacoby Brissett, and I believe the Colts are in first place and playing extremely well. It's mind-blowing to see that Bill Belichick had the right mind to draft all of those players and really get them going. Indianapolis is playing extremely well, and Frank Reich, like you said, he has to be up there in Coach of the Year ballots. And there's been a few coaches who have absolutely impressed me this year, and Reich is definitely on there. And I don't know if that's just because my dad is a giant Bills fan, so he always talks. Every time Reich is on, led the greatest comeback in playoff history. Yeah. I'm like, I know, Dad. I've heard this quite a few times. The last one I'm taking away from week 8, I have to look at Philly and Buffalo. Buffalo finally plays a team kind of with a pulse, and it just showed me two things, really, when speaking about the Bills, that Josh Allen isn't quite there yet, but I still have faith in him. I think he has played extremely well, almost giving the Bills a dual threat. I believe he ran for almost 50 yards in the game. Wasn't quite able to complete 50% of his passes, but he is playing better than other, second-year quarterbacks are. And Josh Allen, he still has a couple steps to go to take the Bills into being a true playoff contender. With that being said, the Eagles finally get back to running the ball, feeding Howard, getting yards on the ground, and playing tough defense. The thing that won them the game, what people don't realize when you talk about Doug and Reich put together to win that Super Bowl, is that the Eagles were the number one rushing team in football that year. They ran the ball extremely well. They're finally getting back to that and, taking the pressure off Carson Wentz and that passing game. So as somebody who grew up a Cowboy fan, it's not easy for me to say, wow, good job, Eagles. But an impressive win over what was a 5-1 team. And the Bills, finally played a team with that has quite a bit of talent. And they didn't look like they were quite ready for the stage yet. I think the Bills are building something out there in Buffalo. The Eagles are maybe getting back on track to being something in the NFC East.
Yeah, I like it. I think that, when you say, like, it's a good point that the Bills are building something. The Bills have been building something for a while now. I think Philadelphia came into that game needing a win a lot more than Buffalo needed a win, just for all intents and purposes of like the standings. Eagles need to keep pace. Buffalo is still, they're not going to win the division. They're obviously in prime position to compete for a wild card spot right now. But a win against Philadelphia, as much as they struggled this year, that's still a very talented team. That's a team that can win on any given Sunday. That would have meant a lot for Buffalo to win that game. It would have just shown that they're able to beat a good but desperate team, especially at home. I think that would have done a lot for their confidence. Whereas now it's kind of a turning point in the season for Buffalo, because that's a defense that's ready to win now. Josh Allen, ebbs and flows. There's a lot to like about the guy, but obviously still a young quarterback. Sean McDermott is a good head coach. The guys there like to play for him, but I would venture to guess that was a pretty gutted locker room for Buffalo to start off the season hot. Once they really face a team midseason that was desperate for a win, they got beat up pretty good there. So curious to see how Buffalo progresses the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I think they'll respond well, not so much emotionally or getting right to it, but their next game, they host the Redskins, which are arguably, the second worst team in football. And I think if you're Buffalo, you have to win this game, because this is a game where you should win. And when you want to be that playoff contending team, the games you should win, you need to win. And the same goes for Philly. You have to build on that win that dominating win you just had over a 5-1 team, and you host the Bears. Both of those teams should respond well from what they did this week and win this week.
I agree. Yeah, definitely, especially Buffalo. This is as ideal of a bounce back game as you can really get.
Absolutely. At home against a bad team. you know, get Josh Allen some confidence playing a bad defense. I believe that the Bills can keep moving forward, and 8-8 is not as far from being off the table. 9-7, I mean, they're 5-2 right now. After next week, I would imagine they are 6-2, and that we're talking about them as a possible, you know, playoff team. With that being said, looking forward, our first game in November is coming up. What do you think about this weekend's games? What can you take? What game are you looking forward to this weekend and saying, "Oh, I can't wait to see this," or "I can't wait to see how this plays out"?
I'm gonna take the easy out here, just because I don't think we've gotten the list of primetime games that we as fans deserve. And I know, obviously, you can't predict the future, but Baltimore, New England, I'm gonna take that Sunday night game. It's circled for me. I think New England is heads and shoulders the best team in the NFL. That defense is, I think they're averaging allowing under 8 points a game. It's absurd, but excited to see how Lamar Jackson responds to it. I'm not obviously, the kid's a special player. He's a great quarterback. He's going to be playing this league a long time. I'm not super convinced on him with him quite yet as a thrower of the football. And if there's a team that can make you that will turn you one dimensional immediately, it's New England. But what New England's doing is turning teams zero dimensional. So I'm intrigued to see how John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson are going to be preparing for this game. What about you?
I mean, first off, let me say, you did absolutely take the easy out. Wait, that's totally true. Big of time. You. If you are a football fan, you're watching Sunday Night Football this week. New England and Baltimore is going to be ridiculous. It'll be very interesting to see. Lamar Jackson has done a great job. And I said it before the season, the Ravens have the highest ceiling in the NFC North, and I think they have the lowest floor. If Lamar Jackson can keep this offense going the way it has been, which has been a breath of fresh air in my mind to see in the NFL, to see the spread option kind of run properly and run well with a solid passing attack, then I think they're making serious noise in the AFC this year. They're running into statistically the best defense since the 2000 Ravens. And I can't wait to see the immovable object meet the, you know, unmoving force, whatever that saying is. That's what we're witnessing Sunday night. That's going to be great. I am going to look for the next night's game. I say, you're right, primetime games haven't been giving us what we want. Monday's night might still not give us what we want, but I'm looking at the Cowboys and I'm saying, hey, you had game after game in the beginning of the season where you look like one of the best teams in the NFC, and then you had a stretch of games where, hell, you lost to the Jets. And that can't happen. They're playing a very beatable New York Giants team that has lost the last four, that is averaging giving up over 24 points a game. You've already beat them. You're going for the sweep. I already said, if you want to be a playoff contending team, you have to beat the teams that you are supposed to. The Cowboys are supposed to beat the Giants this year and probably next year. And whenever you are playing a rookie quarterback as a playoff team, you should win. You are playing a less talented team than you. Your offense needs to get it going a little bit. You're playing a defense that's giving up a lot of points. This is where the Cowboys start to make their statement. They had a very, very, very good win last week against the Eagles. Sorry, 2 weekends ago against the Eagles. They get a bye, and now they get to kind of steamroll through the Giants is what they're hoping for. So what I'm looking for on Monday night this week is, are the Cowboys going to do what a good playoff team should do? And that'll tell me where the Cowboys are, where Jason Garrett is with this team, and what we can look forward to in the Cowboys for 2019.
Yeah, no, that's a good call on a game, as I think, because divisional matchups are always exciting. This is a game Dallas needs to win. I'll tell you this, though. If Dallas doesn't put this game away early, I don't think, even though New York has not been winning the past few weeks, I think they're playing okay football, though, especially now that Saquon's back. Every week, Daniel Jones is just going to keep improving, whether the stat line shows it or not. He's going to get it more. This game being in New York, Giant fans are going to turn out, regardless of the team's winning or not. It's against Dallas. Dallas is going to have to put this one away. If they let New York linger, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants walk out of there with a W.
Wow. Okay. If you're not calling it, you're saying linger. Yeah. Yeah. If you're saying linger. There's a possibility. Yeah,
I'm taking a safe route this episode. I'm sorry. Between the Patriots call and the if they stick around, they might win. But I think the Giants are getting more confident. Saquon is a transcendental player. I think I remember the story about like when Bo Jackson suffered that hip injury. That said, that I guess ended his NFL career. He literally like put the hip back. He popped his own hip back in place. There are certain men, there are certain athletes that just their bodies recover differently and they handle pain and injuries differently. For Saquon Barkley to suffer a high ankle sprain, those things linger for months.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy comes back in like 4 weeks, doesn't miss a beat. He's a special, special, special football player. And I don't think, and I know, I mean, the big primetime lights are definitely not too bright for him.
Absolutely. And it reminds me a lot of when Adrian Peterson tore his ACL and he came back a year later. Now we're hearing about, you know, with all the advances in medicine and biomedics is you can come back from your, there's a player for Clemson who tore his ACL in the spring and he started, you know, a couple of weeks ago playing. But when Adrian Peterson did it after, you know, 10 months, it was the most mind-boggling thing that you could ever imagine. And I feel like that's kind of what we're seeing with a high ankle sprain for Saquon Barkley. I feel like he's in that same realm, that same Adrian Peterson type of physical, he's a grown-ass man, everybody he's playing with are children kind of deal. With that being said, go Titans this week. It's there. I know you're a big Titans fan. You have a Titans podcast, for God's sake. They're playing another team that has a Heisman-winning quarterback that's on the bench. I'm pulling for you guys. If you want to let people know where they can find your Titans talk, your NFL talk, where they can listen to anything that you put out there, go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. And good luck to your Browns as well. If you guys want to tune in to some currently apathetic Titans talk, hit me up on Twitter at @2ToneNation_. From there, you can have the link to the podcast on iTunes. Appreciate you having me on again, Alan, and appreciate any future listeners.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on again. Like I said last time, I'm sure this will not be the last time. Love talking football. Love talking with people who know their stuff, and you definitely know your stuff. Thanks again.
Thank you.
I used to be so happy, but without you here, I feel so low.
Second down and 10 at the 44. Ellinger steps up, lets it go.
It's buried deep inside me, but I feel there's something you should know.
Fly ball, opposite field. Back goes Martinez at the wall. That ball's gone. Home run for Fernando Tatis Jr., his 10th in the big leagues. And just like that, the game is tied at one.
Oh, Fernando. That steal was not just athleticism. He's got anticipation and vision. Like the old Gretzky thing that it's not where the puck is, it's where it's going to be.